Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for being with me today. I'm excited about this hour. Dr. Marcus Bachman will be joining me. He is on his way to the studio, and I know he's probably driving at 100 miles an hour. So drive carefully, Marcus. Get here soon. We've got a great show tomorrow, too. Just I want to give you a heads up. My friend and Bible mentor, Jeff Verdorn, is going to be in studio tomorrow. We're going to be talking about 20 New Testament essentials. 20 New Testament essentials. You're not going to want to miss this. And I'm really excited because Jeff's bringing his parents tomorrow. And I haven't seen his parents in a while, so I'm excited to see them. And then also tomorrow's show, Guy Talk, which is always a lot of fun. We are going to be joined by Dr. Peter Kapsner and Dr. Jim Bilby and maybe another mystery guest, maybe a mystery surprise guest as well. I'd like to keep you guessing as to who's going to be on Guy Talk. And so that's coming up all tomorrow. So I'm quite excited about that. And I also want to remind our listeners and friends in the Fargo area for the big comedy night coming up May 31st. That is a week from Friday. It's going to be at Bethel Church. And if you are in that area and would love to come out and see good, clean comedy and Pastor Andy Veith from Bethel Church. I spoke to him yesterday, and he said that you guys love to laugh. So that's a good thing. And he also said that Fargo can be last-minute people, that they make decisions at the last minute. So whenever you make your decision to come, either way, I'd love to meet you, and I'd love to meet all the listeners that can make it on that day. So that is coming up May 31st. Go to myfaithradio.com. You can buy tickets. And if you saw the show we did in March, on March 16th, for the 70th anniversary of Faith Radio, that's the show we're going to be doing. So if you heard anything about that show, you're going to know that that's the show you're going to see. I got a nice email from a listener after that show. She said, "My husband and I, along with six other friend couples, attended. We were all bubbling over how much fun we had. How much each performance showcased the talents and gifts of all of the three of you, and how we truly laughed and giggled the whole evening surpassed even our highest expectations." So if you really want to come out for a night of exceptional fun, I think that will be a night you will not regret coming to. So it is 7 minutes after the hour. I'm going to take a 60-second break, and then I'll be back with Dr. Marcus Bachman.
Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Middays. I've been thinking a lot lately about how to find space for my soul and to continue to make decisions that are wise in my life. After my recent conversation with Emily Freeman, I spent some time writing down my thoughts, and I'd love to share them with you. You can find my reflections on who God is and how that impacts our decision-making process on my blog. Just search for the keyword right thing at myfaithradio.com. Biblical insight to help you grow in your faith every single day. Myfaithradio.com.
We're connecting faith and life together.
It helps me stay positive and keep a positive outlook on life. It brings up my spirit and really gives me more knowledge on the Bible.
Learning how to apply God's word to everyday life and how to take hold of everything Christ died to give us and make it real and alive in my life.
Faith Radio.
Welcome back. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Dr. Marcus Bachman's in my studio. He's president of Counseling Care. He's been a clinical therapist in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years. He's in big demand as a conference speaker and really is he just loves people. That's what I love about Marcus is he just, when people call with questions or have concerns, he has got the most gentle spirit. And he wants to really help people in a very practical, caring, and sensitive way, and he does it well. He got his degree in education and counseling from Regent University in Virginia Beach, and then he got his doctorate in clinical psychology from Union Graduate Institute in Cincinnati. And he lives here in the cities with his wife, Michelle, and five kids, and you've been a foster parent to more than 20 kids. That is impressive. Marcus, welcome back.
Hey, nice to be here. Thanks. I just drove 70 miles an hour, just to clarify, not 90.
All right. I figured you were driving fast to get here, so I appreciate you making it. And I want to talk a little bit today about developing healthy boundaries, because boundaries are something that we don't do very well.
You know, we get a bad rap for boundaries. I think a lot of times people look at it from a negative, almost a offense kind of a perspective. They defend themselves a lot about boundaries. There's a place for that. But I think boundaries is really a positive statement. This is who we are. This is who we are not. We open the relationship up to what is healthy versus unhealthy. And that's a tremendous value that boundaries bring in a relationship. We have to identify who we are, and that means then we identify with who we are not, and we say no to those things that we are not or that which we should not participate in.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a very, very positive approach toward understanding marriage, understanding your children, work relationships. It just crossed the board. It's really a valuable insight. But you have to, Bill, you have to know yourself. You have to have a sense. I think you were talking just briefly a little bit before about identity. It's that keeps coming back. Do you know who you are?
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about boundaries in, let's say, a marriage, Marcus, would that be a we decision about boundaries, or is that a me decision, or a combo of both?
Well, hopefully, we understand that the two become one, and there is a tremendous amount of teaching and encouragement for the two to walk alongside and have mutual decision-making. That doesn't take away from the person's individuality and the sense that they have to have their own space and they have to have their own ways within that marriage. I think both are true. I think they're two roads that are alongside each other on the interstate. And we're going in the right direction if we understand our individuality, our sense of self, sense of boundaries within marriage, that which is our responsibility, and that which is not. So if I'm the guy that I don't understand finances, I think I need to let that be known, that I will gain some skill in that, but maybe it's my wife that would really should balance the checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good boundary within marriage.
Mm-hmm. What about if you want to be that guy, or your wife wants you to be that guy in charge of finances, and you in your heart know you're really not that good and you shouldn't be doing it?
That's a great appointment to make at Counseling Care.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's counselingcare.us.
No, not. All right, that was a bit of a cheap shot.
No, it's okay.
But you know, I think why do we want to be in a role that isn't ours that are well suited? I was in a small church 50 years ago, and I don't know if they thought that I looked like I was financially with it, but they asked me to be the treasurer. You know, that was a mistake.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
when the checkbook didn't balance, this is a church now.
Uh-huh.
It was not a good deal. And I should have had just rather than, you know, and people who have most difficulty with boundaries are people pleasers. I want to say yes to everything because
right.
I want you to like me. I want to make sure that I do enough for the kingdom, you know, and then they get the whole works versus grace understanding. And I should have had the wisdom and the maturity back then to say, choose another person,
mm-hmm.
man or woman, choose another person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not suited for this.
Yeah. So if there's a couple in your office, Marcus, and they're struggling about this boundary issue, and the man says, I'm just not good at finances. Would the tendency of the woman to be, oh, that's a relief. Good, I'll take over. Or is it, Or is she disappointed? And, well, that's not the way I saw this marriage working. I thought you'd be in charge of some of those issues.
Well, I got to back a little bit away from that. I hope that they went through premarital counseling.
Okay.
And premarital counseling would have identified both strengths and weaknesses. You know, I think when we're counseling with a pre-marriage and the couple see absolutely no weakness in each other, well, that's unfortunate because we all have areas that we need to work on. And hopefully that would have been picked up. But if let's just say it's not, they skip premarital, they got to the office, and, you know, the one says, I think you should do it. Or I just think there is a genuine, honest conversation. Either we have to develop the skills, maybe we'll need to do this together every Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, we can look it over as a team. Mm. I'd much prefer us doing it versus we decided that you would do it and you don't have the skill set for it.
Mm-hmm. So what are some boundary red flags that we can talk about? Because we talk about boundaries, but could we be more specific? Finances would certainly be one of them. What would be another one?
Well, I think, I'm really strong about this whole I need to say yes to too many things.
Mm-hmm.
That's weak boundaries. I'm doing too much. I'm saying that, you know, every time a person says, will you do this for me? Here I am. I raise my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I worked a lot in churches, and I love volunteers. But let's face it, volunteers often become burned out because they don't have a strength of boundaries by having enough balance in their life, by saying no to certain things that they have no business saying yes to. So I think there's that sense of, in a relationship, saying yes too often, not knowing what their area of sweet spot is, comfort spot is, and balance is. There's a lot of tired people out there that have said yes to too many things that lack the confidence. And really, there's nothing Christ-like about it. I mean, we think often, hey, this is quite nice. I have all these hands that raise up. And wait a minute, what if that's really not what God has called them to do? I think we need to really ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that being obedient to God?
Yeah.
And I don't want to over-spiritualize it, Bill. I mean, you know, I really don't mean to say that if you're asked to take someone to the airport, like, that has to be an incredible God revelation here.
Right. All right, Dr. Marcus Bachman's in studio. We'd love to take your questions. We're chatting right now about developing and having healthy boundaries. If you feel like some lines have been crossed and you don't know what a good, healthy, godly boundary is or what it looks like, you've got a question, give us a call or a text, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Dr. Marcus Bachman's in studio with me today. I'm loving this. He's president of Counseling Care, and that is counselingcare.us. That's his website. And we're talking about healthy boundaries, and we're trying to figure out how do you know when lines might be getting crossed and what healthy, godly boundaries look like. And we're absolutely opening up the phone lines and the text messages, 877-933-2484. We've got a caller. Nick is on the line from Maplewood, Minnesota. Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So my question about boundaries is kind of an awkward situation for a person to be in, but this is it has to do with divorce. So when you have an ex-spouse and you have children together and you're doing your best to co-parent, and there's just that there's oftentimes I myself have been put into I'm remarried and I've been put into kind of awkward situations simply by the fact that I'm a very nice person and I want to be accommodating and I really want to make an effort to co-parent. and how to balance that with your family. Like, you know, when is a good time to say no to your ex with a, you know, with a request for help for, you know, something that would probably go beyond co-parenting, or, you know, when you feel like that a boundary's been crossed there. So keeping that relationship cordial and polite and co-parenting as best you can while still having respectful and keeping your present family life happy.
All right.
And to God.
Good question, Nick. That's a blended family situation. I mean, not a blended family, two families. And he's trying to be accommodating to his ex-wife and family.
Nick, thanks for that call. I appreciate the fact that, you know, first of all, you come across as really desiring to do what's right and to do it in a way that's respectful and honoring, which are principles of every relationship, including one with one's ex. You have to keep the principles of kids first. You know, we put our dad hat on, our mom hat on when it comes to a divorce situation, but not always does the ex want the same thing as you do. And so part of that is just, you know, mediating, talking it through, not giving the answer yes right away, but let's talk about
that's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said about it's going to sound like I'm pushing a little bit about the service of counseling, but there's a lot to be said about a mediator counselor in the midst of delicate situations here, and if the two can be in a room together and talk about and focus on the kids. That's a milestone. That's pretty huge, and there's a lot of different approaches. There's one that works with a parenting coach and a wizard application that they can be talking to each other online, which is another method. Not necessarily having to go to a counselor, and the coach can walk alongside someone like that too. All of those things can be helpful, but you know the best is, I evaluate often how much am I saying yes to, how much am I saying too much yes to, and if you have that tendency, Nick, and you're current wife may have her perspective and is good to talk with her and get that, but eventually sometimes you have to slow things down, and sometimes you have to just say that's not going to work for me, or we need to keep we need to have that discussion on the table. You don't sound like a person that's going to blow up and get angry and
put, no. That's part of the problem. Is part of what I did in the past was concede a lot just to keep peace.
Yeah.
And that ends up not being respectful to my current family. So what I've done a lot lately, and it sounds like I'm cowering down, but what I'm actually doing is deferring a lot to my wife. So when she'll ask a question, I'll say, you know, I really need to talk to my wife about that.
Excellent. Yep. Let's make that clear. You're not cowarding at all. What you're saying is, in my relationship with my wife, we're going to talk about that. And I like the idea of giving yourself a little bit of time, you know, rather than having to give an answer right on the spot. Often when we feel pressured to have to give an answer right away versus, you know, I thought about it, I prayed about it, I talked to my spouse about it, talked to somebody else, a good friend about it, and now I'm ready to give an answer. That's a much wiser approach. So, Nick, you know, you're moving in a good direction there.
Thanks a lot, Nick, for calling.
Right, that was old me. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Yeah, so interesting response you had, Marcus, and very kind and loving. And I think it's interesting when lines get crossed, you start to realize that right away, don't you? You can feel it, can't you?
And I'll bet Nick is the kind of guy at first when he was just being the nice guy. Nice guys end up getting really frustrated and angry at themselves, sometimes really hating themselves. Why did I do that? Why did I say yes to that? Especially when they just gave in and it hurt their own kids. You know, just giving a cell phone to a 8-year-old Oh, boy, that's controversial, isn't it? I just realized I opened up a can of worms. And he's not ready to do that. He may be kicking himself. Maybe kicking himself for a couple of years. That's costing me, and I just don't think it's a good thing for an 8-year-old to have a cell phone. And that's something we needed to at least take the time to mutually come to a decision at. And he probably has learned some lessons and wants to do life in a wiser, better way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking about boundaries, and when we have situations, Marcus, where boundaries are, again, being blurred and crossed, and we're starting to realize that we're in a difficult situation. What if your identity has been, call Marcus because he'll help you? So your identity is, I'm the person that says yes, and it's killing you.
I had you until you said call Marcus.
Yeah. Well, your identity, you know, people say if you have need to ride to the airport, call Marcus.
I see.
You need to move that marble coffee table, call Marcus. He's the nicest guy. He'll help you do it. And you've built your identity on that. So in your head, you go, people have said that when you need help, call Marcus.
Yeah.
Now another guy calls you and says, hey, Marcus, can you help me?
Yeah.
So the boundaries are blurred now because you don't want to say yes.
You know, Bill, I don't know if you know me, but that's incredible. That used to be the Marcus I used to be.
Okay.
So
talk about that guy.
Yeah. Okay, let's go into my childhood. So what do we got, a six-hour show?
Yeah.
No, the truth is, I said way, way too much yes. And you know what? It felt good because people appreciated often. They would be thankful. They'd, you know, give you a nice gift at Christmas and all that kind of stuff. And it felt good. And that... It took me a while to figure out that's not a that doesn't say much about me other than I'm a yes person. Mm-hmm. And there's a place for that. Listen, I'd much rather people would say, if they're going to err on something, get ready to say yes rather than no. We're kind of moving into a society, a culture now that that readily says nope. And they don't give any explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, not going to do that. So to answer your first question there, it's a strength of a person having to say at the end of the day is, you know, and it's really important for a person who says yes too much is to review it at the end of the day. Maybe by noontime, if they've said yes too many times, that will, awareness will help build their confidence eventually to say, I need to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, this may sound a little strange, but I evaluate every year, my relationships with my friends. And because I tend toward being more yes, I find that I'm giving too much. I have to evaluate, is this healthy friendships or not? Or is it time to let some people go?
Yeah. Dr. Marcus Bachman's in studio. If you have a question about healthy boundaries, maybe lines have been crossed. What are good, godly boundaries? What do they look like? If you have a question about boundaries, let us know. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Dr. Marcus Bachman's in. We're talking about boundaries. And during the break, Marcus, we started talking about probably the key issue of boundaries, and that would be trust, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's trust with everything. I mean, even if it's something as simple as material, you know, boundaries, like you want to borrow my car for the weekend. It's like, do I want to trust you with my car for the weekend?
You know, I know there's a lot of philosophies out there. The current culture seems to be saying, you know, it's just a material thing, so don't hold on so tight. Just
right.
Let it go. And I like that attitude, in the sense of material things don't control us. But I don't like the sense that you get to be reckless or irresponsible. You know, let me just, for instance, I have an office that I share with my son, who's a psychiatrist. Now, you know, I give him my office on Mondays and Wednesdays. And when he first came in, he's a grown adult, obviously. I have my pillows on the couches a certain way. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
And right. The first few days he used my office, I came in there all messed up. And I said, Lucas, when you were 10 years old, I kind of came in and fluffed up your pillows and took care of your bed. Those days are over. If you're gonna borrow my office, you put the pillows and the chairs and everything else back. So to me, that's a boundary. That sounds really kind of silly when I talk about pillows. But you know, who's gonna fix the car if you ran it into the ditch or misused it? I mean, that probably wasn't stated when I said, "Here are the keys."
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of that clearly needs to be stated in certain situations, especially if I can't afford to fix a car if you break
right,
it.
Right. So Marcus, if I become highly emotional, or I get argumentative or super defensive, might that suggest that I have weak emotional boundaries?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, anytime someone has that intensity and that defensive approach, or gets overly excited in a relationship like that, they often have some real confusion over where the relationship is supposed to start and where the responsibilities are. And often there's just a real blurring. I think in some ways what you're saying is, if you don't have a maturity about your emotions, then you may not have a maturity about the relationship,
mm-hmm.
and boundaries get very much clouded within that relationship.
So what if I feel guilty for someone else's negative feelings or their problems? All right, so I'm feeling guilty for somebody else's problems.
Bill, why would you?
Well, because, you know, I'm just asking. Oh. If you did have that.
You're not going to play the part of a client, are you, Bill?
No,
you
know, I'm just,
I've tried this several times with you.
I know,
you
it doesn't
keep
work.
Keep your role really strong. Okay.
But, you know, is that another symptom of maybe that I've got some boundary issues?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, what's ours? You know, the fact is, And by the way, that's why a lot of people shouldn't become counselors, because they take on, you know, they get so involved. And I am obviously not saying that counselors shouldn't be sincere and empathetic, because we should be. We should care and we should be present. But, you know, at the end of the 15 minutes, at the end of your talk with your friend, you know, you got some other things you got to take care of in life, whether it's going back to work or whether it's going home to your spouse. You got to keep moving on here. So I think there's a lot of people that overcompensate and enmesh themselves and believe that they have to take the ownership of somebody else's problems. And that's I just don't see that as a biblical thing. Mm-hmm. I see compassion, and I see empathy, and I see biblical counsel given, but not where you start to feel, well, I mean, why guilty? Why overwhelmed? There's nothing beneficial in a healthy relationship that could really do something positive.
Mm-hmm. Are boundaries learned at a very early age? Is that where we start learning them?
Yes.
A listener asked, if you've been in a family situation where boundaries haven't been respected, how do you begin asserting those?
This may sound like a ridiculous approach, but here goes. We have in our office a one-way mirror for the play therapy room. And we have what's called bug in the ear for parents who have missed the understanding of proper boundaries and proper parenting. And so we're on the other side of the mirror, so the child can't see and doesn't notice that we're actually talking to the father or mother. And we're basically instructing them how to properly talk and touch and give emotion. And it's an incredible tool for people who have missed the formative years of good parenting or being parented to good boundaries. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you know, we often talk about boundaries. We can certainly say, you know, physical abuse or sexual abuse, but there's a lot of other boundaries in the sense of children have to have a sense that, you know, yes, they need to share, and yes, they need to be, you know, thinking about others, but they also have to have some things that is theirs and that they can feel secure about. That whole realm of boundaries, when there's no sense of self or no sense of security in growing up, we pay for it. And it's a long process to heal and to change that. And that's why sometimes we take the time of putting the bug in the ear with a current parent and retrain.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, the good news is people are teachable. People mm-hmm. can change.
Marcus, I love that proverb that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when I think of doing, you know, healthy management of thoughts and emotions and behaviors and impulses, mm-hmm. is that part of good boundaries?
Yeah. There's what you're really talking about is a defining of self and a what I would call is a quiet confidence, not a puffed up, but a sense of, you know, I know who I am and I'm okay whether you like me or not. I'm okay about saying no. I'm okay about saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, the beauty of boundaries is I have the freedom to say yes in a relationship.
Is there an art to setting boundaries, or can I just say, I'm setting a boundary and you go, yeah, whatever. I mean, how do you make them stick?
Bill, I think there's an art to living. I think there's an art to relationships. I think there's an art to knowing. And so much of this has to do with how do you define what manners are?
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that I am thinking about you. I will be respectful to you, but I'm going to also be respectful to me. And so the art is really being kind enough to the other person. I mean, I can raise my voice like my dad raised his voice. And, you know, that will quiet someone down. But it isn't very artful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It isn't very kind and it's not effective. Trust me, I've tried it.
You have?
Yes, can we turn the table around today? I mean, how about you?
Yeah. So...
You're not going to do it with me, are
you? No, I'm not.
He's not going to do it, folks. Anybody have a call-in question for Bill about boundaries?
Yeah, why don't you call in? If you have a question for Marcus
Why do you have your finger on the stop button?
Because I'm ready to push it at any moment. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Do people look at boundaries as punishment? Because I can say, Marcus, I'm setting a boundary with you, and that is this. And all of a sudden, you feel like it's punitive. Like, why are you doing this to me? This is punishment.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that someone would look at it that way. And certainly, if a person hasn't had, without overusing the term, an artful approach, a mannerly approach, a kind approach, a respectful, honoring approach, yeah, they could look at it that way. But, you know, I have enough confidence to know that... listen, I wish everyone at the grocery store would, you know, have a happy smile and when they I want to use American Express because I get better mileage points on that, and they just turn to me and say, no, well, you could have said that in a nicer way,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not offended. Come on, you know, why would we be?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we're that sensitive, if we're not understanding that. A boundary for the other person helps define the yes or no's, and let's not get stuck. Let's not make a big deal out of some certain things.
Shouldn't we reserve our anger in life for things that matter?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No, you can't use American Express. Shouldn't matter that much, right?
It's surprising. It's surprising how little things come up. And yes, I wish people would have a righteous anger about the pro-life movement and about those.
Exactly. That's where I was going next.
Those things that matter.
That matter.
You know, marriage matters. divorce is ugly and mm-hmm. it hurts. And I think we bypass the fact that we too easily don't say what needs to be from a values point of view, Christian point of view, spoken clearly.
Okay, can we talk about some of the fringe benefits of setting boundaries? If I set a boundary, might I have less, what's the word, anxiety?
Less anxiety, less depression, and even sometimes not turning to something that we shouldn't be turning to for addictions.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, the confidence that if we know ourselves, but I don't think this is an easy task. It's kind of like saying, okay, we talk about it, Bill, get your identity in Christ. Have a sense of knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think it's going to take a few silent retreats and a long time of quiet times and reading some good books and listening to some great radio programs.
Mm-hmm. Like this one.
Like this one, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it really will take being a student of self and what God's word is to us.
Mm-hmm.
What an exciting adventure. I mean, you know, we got some time here, so I say let's rather than looking at Netflix, I'm not giving condemnation if someone watches Netflix. I watched it last night. Okay, the point is we have to be responsible about studying ourselves.
Yeah. How often, Marcus, do people come into your office and they say this? Sometimes I just don't know who I am.
Mm.
Does that happen a lot?
It does.
What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, I'm a man of 1,000 questions like you are, Bill. So if you ask enough questions, we start to, which is really important, where'd this start, you know, where'd this come from? And a lot of times if we start digging around in childhood, there's that lost child syndrome, which is the hardest. I mean, that's an old AA statement. I don't know that we use that anymore. I still do. But there is an incredible difficulty of reaching that lost child, because if not enough was put in, not enough was cared for, and that kid was lost, not only does he have or she have not have boundaries, they have a quiet depression, a sense of non-self, and it doesn't matter to them. That's, you know, knock, knock, is anybody home? Nope. That's a tough one to reach.
Mm.
Now, well, not impossible, but a real tough one in counseling. So it kind of reminds me of when you say that. The other point is obvious. Typically, they don't come to counseling.
Yeah. When you say a lost child, is it an incident or is it a amount of time that happened in that child's life?
It's usually over amount of time.
Amount of time. Okay.
Over many incidents. Because not just, you know, children are honestly resilient. Bad things happen to all of us,
mm-hmm.
But typically a child, the care and one person at least, being crazy about that kid and celebrating that kid and showing on a regular basis, talk to me, let's play basketball together or whatever the case is for guys or girls. I think that's over a period of time that if there's not enough of an emphasis that you have value and you have worth, what a godly message.
Mm-hmm.
They become lost if they mm-hmm. don't receive that.
Can kids ever say to their parents, I'm really struggling with this boundary you're putting on me because it's not helping me? Do they ever say that?
Well, let's see. My grandson last night wanted to have his chocolate that we got for him before he had his healthy food.
Okay.
And
I hope he gave him the chocolate first.
I ate it first. And he's still crying. No. Kids can say that. You know, it's the parents that are in charge.
Right.
I'm a little concerned about kids being in charge there.
I'm just, I'm probably not coming up with a good illustration. I want to do
give me one from your childhood.
From my childhood, well, I'd love to, but we got to go to break. It's 13 minutes
working
until the top of the hour.
I've tried
Marcus
it three
Bachman
times.
Is in the studio. It's never going to work. 877-933-2484. Let us know with a call or a text what your question is. Welcome back to the show. Dr. Marcus Bachman's in the studio. He's president of Counseling Care. You can go to counselingcare.us. That's his website, counselingcare.us. We're talking about healthy boundaries. Question came in from a listener, Marcus. Any tips for setting boundaries with a family member with borderline personality disorder?
Whoa. Well, borderline is a significant, intense diagnosis, and it's the kind of person, in a very basic way, that and you recognize it, that they live in drama land. They stir up. They cause a great deal of emotional difficulty. They're on a roller coaster, and they want to take you with it. So it's an excellent question to ask about. And sometimes it can be a much more severe, where there's, you know, there's split personalities, where there are many different personalities within the person. But typically, it's more a person that is in love with drama land. And, you know, we make a lot of fun out of that. I think there's products out there, say, Drama Queen, Drama Queen King, and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. But, and by the way, it's no offense, but it's more females that are borderline personality than males are. Okay, so a person has to set boundaries. I mean, if you think you're going to save that person, that would be, I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about rescuing that person every day. It's too high of a request, and you can't do it. You will tire immensely from trying to rescue a borderline. So you have to just decide what can you give and what can't you give. You know, I use this illustration because it's been many years since we've had foster children, but we always gave one of our foster kids who had a perpetual need for drama and needed to complain about everything under the sun, and I gave her 15 minutes after the end of the school day to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, at the end of 15 minutes, because we got five of our own and four other foster kids, we can't be spending 2-3 hours a night talking to you, hearing your drama complaint of the evening. So... And the kids catched on really quickly, and they said, you know, make up her name, Mary. The kids would say, Mary, you had your 15 minutes with Dad after school. You can't be talking to me about, you know. And our kids learned boundaries.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
And Mary figured out, okay, I got a place. I'd love to spend 3 hours, but I can at least have a dumping ground for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I can create all the dust storm I want. And she figured that out. And you know
wow.
what? It wasn't completely satisfying for Mary.
Of course, it couldn't have been, because the whole world was not revolving around her.
Right. And she looked for other people and other places.
Mm-hmm.
But in our family... Our healthier family, we didn't get this right all the time, but at least in our family, we created a safe zone for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So this person who's calling in about someone who has that issue, be careful, understand yourself, know how much time you can give, and that literally may be, I can go out once every 2 weeks, and we can, you know, go to Perkins together.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So here's another listener. Is asking a good way to set boundaries with a cousin-in-law who is harassing her over something that happened years ago. Sounds like this is an ongoing family situation where you're going to continue to see this person and you're still getting harassed about something that happened years ago. How do you set a boundary with something like that?
Well, there's a reason why it's called a cousin-in-law,
yeah.
First of all. I think you have to come up with something, you know, short and to the point. And I wish I were brilliant enough right now on the radio to say what's short and to the point. But, you know, it may be as simple as, you know, having a conversation and saying, I'm not going to talk about that issue again. Whether it was, you know, back in 1969 at the swimming pool, I'm not talking about that anymore. And we may just say that phrase, I'm not going to talk about that. And then we don't talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and we're quiet. It may be as simple as that, but it may be where this person has such an incredibly difficult time letting go and loves harassing, you know, we keep our distance. I mean, why would I want to spend Christmas with a cousin-in-law unless there's no way around that? I just wouldn't want to ruin my Christmas. Maybe Thanksgiving, but not Christmas. You know, Christmas is too important to me. Mm-hmm. So I just think there's a physical distancing. I'm gonna be visiting with other people. I'm not gonna be visiting with you. And I'm gonna say to you, I'm not talking about that. Typically, it helps us from not having to relive what they want to relive in drama land.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing is, and again, I'm pushing counseling a little too much, but you want to go see a counselor? You want to see a safe person with me and let that person mediate
sure.
this?
Yeah.
That might be an option. Or a good friend. Good friend. Hey, listen, I don't want to. There's a lot of other options rather than professional counseling.
Mm-hmm. Marcus, would you say that boundaries kind of define us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's the good news.
That is good news, isn't it?
That's so positive because, again, I know what I'm good at. And I can say yes more to what I'm good at. And I sure need to say no. It's like a pastor who believes he needs to be there for people in all ways. And what a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not, you know, there are pastors that are not necessarily people person.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really good at giving a great sermon.
Right.
I say leave them in their office for 30 hours, creating that
right.
good sermon so that the rest of us can hear a fantastic
yes,
sermon.
They may not
That's
have,
a good boundary.
They may not have good interpersonal skills, but they're brilliant in the pulpit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is one of the most important things we should think about today is the power of no?
The power of yes.
Okay, I was half right. A 50-50 chance, and I got it wrong.
No, I think that is good, Bill. I mean, really, isn't it? Isn't it the power of yes and the power of no? It's both. It has to be both. Because otherwise, we become limited, and we're putting walls around us. And really, to have a good, healthy relationship means I'll let you know who I am. I want to get to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not going to be spending a certain amount of time doing something that doesn't fit for us together. Why would we do that? Why would we keep, you know, listen, if we have after 32 years fought over who has to clean the bathroom
mm-hmm.
and we could afford someone to come in once a month, have someone come in once a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good boundary about
it
how
is.
We operate our home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, hey, listen, I'll work an extra hour or two at work so that somebody can clean my house. Whatever that boundary is, whatever fits, I can say yes to, and I can say no to.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful understanding of God revealing who we are, how he's made us, how our bent is, and therefore, boundaries should fit right in place.
Mm-hmm. Marcus, so nice of you to come in. I love having you in studio, and I know the listeners love it too. Marcus Bachman has been my guest, Dr. Marcus Bachman, and go to counselingcare.us. That's his website, and if you have an issue, the psychological, or you need medication, you can come to his office for both, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Be delighted to have you.
Some are cognitive stuff, and some is medical, psychiatric stuff, right?
And some is very prayerful.
And someone who's very prayerful, indeed. Well, thank you once again for coming in, and I want to again say thank you, and thanks to all the listeners. We have another question that came in. I'm sorry we're not going to have time for that, but I will keep it on the list of great questions to ask Marcus next time he comes on. And that wraps up our show. I want to thank all my guests for making today's show so great. As always, if you missed any of it, you might want to go to myfaithradio.com. Go to the Afternoons with Bill Arnold show page, and you can hear any and all of what went on today on the broadcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting Faith Radio. It's been a great day. I hope you have a great night. As you lay your head on that pillow tonight, just be reminded and know that God is working out his great plan in your life. And make sure you set some good boundaries, and learn how to say yes, and learn how to say no, and know who you are, but know who you are in Christ first. Good night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.